the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, you've probably heard about them before, or maybe even read about them. Blue Zones. These are places around the world where individuals live to be well over 100 years of age. What is it about the Blue Zones that make them so special, that give longevity the way it does? Well, that's the discussion of today's show. Joining me on the program is Tony Buettner. He is national spokesman for Blue Zones and business development. Tony, I want to talk about the current issue. It's actually a bookazine of National Geographic. It's called Blue Zones, The Science of Living Longer. As we begin this, for our listeners who may not be familiar with these Blue Zones, I wonder if we might just talk about each one of them briefly and what makes them Blue Zones.
Absolutely. Well, we're very proud of the fact that the Blue Zones National Geographic bookazine you're talking to has just been released. It's on shelves now for the second time. It was so successful when it originally came out 18 months ago that it sold out in 5 days. So a great magazine, does a great job of taking readers through the five original Blue Zones and then translating what we can learn from these longest lived populations and implement in our homes, within our families, our organizations, and even communities. So great article there, and hope that people get a chance to read it. So about 10 years ago, National Geographic and the National Institute of Aging approached Dan Buettner and his team and asked if he'd be interested in researching the longest lived populations and figure out why do they live so long. We've all seen these articles that speak to people living to 120 and 130 in these far-reaching places, and majority of all those have been debunked. People just simply don't have birth records, or as they get older, they add 2 or 3 years every year, and it just kind of gets out of hand. What we wanted to do was to demographically confirm, geographically define longevity hotspots where people truly are living longer lives. We brought together leading demographers, anthropologists, medical researchers, nutritionists, and actually I've embedded our teams within these five special places over the last 10 years to figure out why they live so long. So the first Blue Zone discovered was on the island of Sardinia, Italy, about 150 miles off the coast of Italy. It's here that you find the longest lived men. They actually live 10 years longer than we do here in America, and not on the whole island, in this bullseye region called the Noro Province. It's about 6 villages and about 40,000 people. And what's so amazing about this longevity hotspot is here in America, for every 6,000 births, we yield about one centenarian. But in this region, for every 1,000 births, they yield about 4.3 centenarian. So it's just extraordinary longevity. You find here aging parents being taken care of by their children, and we know that affords about a 4 to 6 year push in longevity. And we even found the grandmother effect here. The children of these extended families suffer lower rates of infant mortality and disease. We find a culture that's created a portable diet. They make a unique cheese made out of sheep's milk called pecorino cheese, very high in omega-3 fatty acids. And then there's a wine by the name of Cannonau there. And when we had it tested, it turns out it has 3 times the level of artery scrubbing compounds called polyphenols in any other wine in the world. So a great longevity hotspot. You find the longest lived women living on the island of Okinawa in Japan. They live 12 years longer than we do here in America. They live as a whole population 7 good years longer than we do. There's 5 times as many centenarians. There's 1/5 the rate of breast and colon cancer and 1/6 the rate of cardiovascular disease. And we find a population here that really doesn't have the concept or the word retirement in their language. They actually have this concept called ikigai, which is the reason they get up in the morning. And researchers tell us people that have that mission statement and can articulate it live 7 years longer than those that don't. They also have this interesting concept of Moais. And these are really simply just committed friends that you're kind of assigned to at a very young age, and you travel through life with this built-in friendship. You find this population eating lots of tofu, primarily a plant-based diet, and a long history of honoring those family members that have left through ancestor veneration. We found our third blue zone, and really the only American blue zone longevity hotspot, in Loma Linda, California, amongst the Seventh-day Adventists. Here, the whole population lives about 10 years longer than the rest of us here in America. And it's funny because you find this community of 28,000 people suffering the same challenges that most cities in America face, but somehow they're eking out an additional 10 years. And when we peeled back the onion, we find a whole population implementing strategies to live longer. They take their diet right from the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 29, where it talks about greens and fruits and legumes and nuts. You find a population that takes a 24-hour sanctuary of time from Friday night at sunset to Saturday night, where they focus simply on three things: family, faith, and friendships. During the sanctuary of time, you often see them eating plant-based potluck dinners, so they're exchanging healthy recipes, they're supporting their aging parents, and they're building a very strong family and community bond. And we know that this strategy is adding longevity. We found our fourth blue zone in the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica. It's here that whole population has a three times better chance of living to a healthy age 90. We see a diet that's really been unchanged for 3,000 to 4,000 years. Beans and corn and healthy fruit. You see a water that is actually funneling through rich calcium and magnesium deposit in their ground. And you see this concept of faith and family and physical movement in every day. We found our last blue zone. It's really the only one that has been somewhat isolated over time, on the island of Ikaria in Greece, right off the coast of Turkey. It's here that almost a perfect storm of longevity factors are pushing a whole population of 8,000 to an additional 8 years of longevity without almost any dementia or chronic disease. And again, you find a concept of movement and community and friendship and primarily plant-based diet as the cornerstone of that blue zone.
I want to talk about something in the National Geographic, and this was a characteristic, sort of a summation of these five zones. It's called the Power of Nine. One is moved naturally. The world's longest lived people are constantly nudged into moving by the environment that surrounds them. Purpose. They have something to live for beyond work. Downshift. They have routines for shedding stress. 80% rule. Like in Okinawa, they stop eating when they're 80% full. Plant slant, meaning they're mainly a plant-based diet. Wine. The right tribe. Community. And loved ones first. So when you add it all together, it is not just food, it's more of a lifestyle, which is, you know, de-stress, it's belonging, community, family, spiritual, all of it combined. So let me ask you this. From doing all of this work, you and your brother have begun to experiment here locally in the United States and setting up blue zones. How do you do something like that? In other words, I live in a large city, San Diego, where there's 3.5 million people. I mean, how would you set up a blue zone, or is it mainly small towns where you're trying this out?
Yeah, absolutely. For us in this research, we were trying really to find the secret to longevity. And what we found over and over again in each of these five populations are nine commonalities that you simply see over and over and over again. And you mentioned the majority of them, but these people move naturally. We saw that on average, these populations are being nudged by their environment and their lifestyle to move every 20 minutes. And this isn't through going to the local gym or running marathons. It's simple movement. We see, as you mentioned, ways to downshift or reverse stress, time-honored traditions that reduced inflammation that causes many preventable diseases. They all have a profound sense of purpose and live that daily. We think the cornerstone to every Blue Zone diet is beans. They're cheap, they're easy to make, they're filling, they're good for you. We found these populations drinking a small amount of alcohol, but always with a friend's family and a healthy meal, and it was typically red wine. We see strategies not to overeat. And the foundation of all this, as you touched on, was their connectedness. They put their family first, kept aging parents close, nurtured healthy, monogamous relationships, and nurtured their children. We talked to 263 centenarians in five places, and only three did not belong to faith-based community. And this wasn't simply a concept around religion, but it was a concept of faith and resilience and healthy, supported friendships. And then these people were either born into or actively seeked out healthy friendships. And we now know your three best friends are contagious, almost as contagious as a cold, be it healthy habits or not. When we came back, we were approached by AARP and asked if we could replicate one of these Blue Zones in America. We had been spending about 3 years on another grant studying community health initiatives around the world and realized that we have never had a successful one in our country. Success being measured by reducing a chronic disease and sustaining it. Instead, they've all been failures. And again, we found seven commonalities of failure within these community health initiatives. So we created what we call the life radius approach, saying that we know we spend about 90% of our time in a 5-mile life radius of where we live and where we work. We know that 80% of your longevity is driven by environments and positive lifestyle. And what we looked to do was to focus on people, places, and policy to help people do more of the Power Nine. In other words, connect socially, strengthen families, and optimize their homes so healthy choices are easier. Find purpose and put those purpose strategies and missions to work as volunteers. And then we started to look at the places that we just bump through our day, the places we work, the restaurants we go to eat, the grocery stores we shop, our faith-based communities, and the schools that our students and ourselves go to. Could we create a perfect storm of well-being in these places so that the active choice and the healthy choice and the engaged choice was the easy choice? And then lastly, working with community leaders around policy to make healthy foods cheaper and easier to get, unhealthy foods and beverages a little harder to get, to make it easier not to smoke and make it easier to connect, to walk and bike and use public transportation and not always be relying on a car and the stress that a car brings. Obviously, you need it for certain trips, but making the active choice the easy choice. We did a pilot back in 2008 in a small community in southern Minnesota with about 20,000 people. We brought experts in and trained about 250 volunteers there to be a partner in innovation. And after a short 13-month pilot, we saw extraordinary results that really captured the interest of the world. We saw city workers' healthcare claims reduced over 40%. We saw tobacco usage in the county drop over 17%. We saw people walking and biking down to the main street and supporting those businesses increase. We saw walkability and bikeability increase. This was a national story. But most importantly, we helped move their county health rankings from 68th out of 89th to 33 and helped deliver about $40 million in grants and gifts and direct economic impact around that work. That has now scaled 8 years later to where we are currently in 11 states and 45 communities around the country. And actually, our second project was very close to San Diego. just a little north of you, the beach cities of Redondo, Hermosa, and Manhattan Beach. They're in their seventh year of their Blue Zone project. And that project has yielded extraordinary results that has really captured the imagination of our Surgeon Generals, our current and our last, and communities around the country. We've helped that community reduce childhood obesity by over 50% in that seven short years. So imagine a whole generation growing up, starting families, starting businesses, and staying in the community, what that would mean. So you asked, how would you ever attack a large community? Well, we're in communities of 10,000 all the way up to 850,000. Our largest community to date is in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. So as you can imagine, a very diverse community, a very large community. We have 45 full-time employees that have been hired from that community. We have several thousand volunteers leading that work. We have 13 committees that are creating blueprints to permanently and semi-permanently change the environment so healthy choices are easy. Actually, for your listeners, next week there will be an NBC nightly news story on that fourth year of that project.
What can an individual do to Blue Zone their own life? Say you don't live in this community, but let's just start with the home. In the National Geographic magazine, they talk about blue zoning your kitchen, your home life. What are some practical things our listeners can do to make and live a more healthy life?
Absolutely. So on our website at bluezone.com, there's tons of free tools and thoughts for your listeners. There's a true happiness test and a true longevity test that your listeners will answer about 30 questions, and it will give a personalized guide of what your listeners should start to either decrease or increase to make healthy choices easy. We've worked now with over 4,000 organizations and 10 million people, and every year we're learning through these partners in innovation what permanent and semi-permanent changes really yield participation, engagement, and more importantly, change. And part of our projects are getting people to engage and sign a pledge to take some simple steps. And I'll give your listeners a few examples. So one of the pledge items we recommend is for people to either buy or adopt a dog. You're probably going, well, how is that going to increase my well-being? Well, when you have a dog and you come home every night, what do you need to do? You need to walk the dog. And so what we learned from the longest lived populations, it's not about these bursts of things like diets or gym memberships or supplements. They're things that people do every day and they do it long enough to really matter. Things in your kitchen, for instance, when you open your refrigerator at home and you're looking for your fruits and vegetables, where do you typically find those? They're down low in a crisper, out of sight, out of mind. What we would suggest is for your listeners to chop up their fruits and vegetables on Sunday night, put them in single serving containers, and put them on the top shelf of your refrigerator. So the healthy choice is the easy choice. When you go to your pantry, and believe me, I have cookies and candy in there, chips as well. But our strategy would say, put healthy items at eye level, put unhealthy items either up high or down below. Again, not to prohibit, but to make healthy choices the easy choice. And then many researchers talk to the importance of putting a bowl of fruits right in the center of your kitchen. And there's been many studies done that shows it will increase your consumption of fruits and vegetables by about 40% or more. So again, just setting up that environment to make healthy choices the easy choice. And the checklists or pledges I'm talking about are available on our website.
You know, there are certain things that you talk about in this issue of National Geographic. There's certain kind of foods, certain things that you don't want to do. For example, you talk about eliminating dairy, and you also talk about avoiding meat. You talk about beverages such as green tea. Let's talk about that. What are some things? It seems to me you could live healthier, and it would be a lot cheaper if you just ate natural foods. In other words, avoid stuff that's packaged, frozen, and, you know, spend more of your time in the produce department of the store. But what about protein? Because we know protein is important, which is why we see, you know, you go to any restaurant, you're going to see steak on the menu, you're going to see chicken, you're going to see seafood. In these blue zones, they rarely eat any of that.
What we found in 150 research papers over the last 100 years in the five longevity hotspots is, on average, these populations eat animal protein about five times a month. It's usually a celebratory event, and portion size was very important. You don't see these populations eating the 28-ounce T-bone steak. On average, they're consuming 3 to 4 ounces of this meat. And so what we bring forth is simply what we find in the longest lived populations. They're getting protein from nuts, they're getting protein from beans, getting protein from legumes, and rounding off their diet. I think there's just an enormous body of research out there that shows very convincingly the more real food that you eat, the better it is for you. For instance, we know currently that on average, Americans, 50% of their caloric intake on any given day comes from junk food. We know that people aren't going to just go from their current diet to be a vegan or vegetarian. But what we suggest is trying some new recipes, trying to reduce the amount of animal protein and increase whole grains and vegetables, to maybe commit to one night a week to have it be plant-based, and to encourage listeners to learn how to cook and prepare and shop healthy. And again, on our website, there's over 600 recipes that help nudge that. We even have a meal planner that will take into consideration the foods that you like and help you create a weekly menu that fits that. So again, just simply making the healthy choice the easy choice. And I'll give you an example in restaurants. We work with restaurants not to change the concept or the success of a restaurant, but to make the environment a little easier and healthier for people to find healthy choices. We, in our research, found that if on a menu in a restaurant, the word healthy is on that item, it almost guarantees that item won't be healthy. But we work with restaurants to rename their items to make them sound delicious, and through herbs and spices and fresh vegetables, make them tasty. In other words, when we order a sandwich in a restaurant, typically it comes with a compost pile of French fries. But what we would suggest is have the default be fruits or vegetables. Of course, people want to order the French fries, of course, do it. But just again, looking at the environment and setting it up so healthy choices are just simply the default. And when you do that within a population, you start to add an enormous amount of value and years to people's lives. Medical researchers tell us that the human body is built to live on average to a healthy age 90. But here in America, we're leaving 12 good years on the table. On average, we live to age 78. And what we're trying to do here at Blue Zones and Blue Zone Project is allow people to get some of those good years back, to add years to their life and put life into those years.
Tony, can you actually reverse this by changing your lifestyle? Let's say that you're the average American, you've grown up on junk food, you're eating large amounts of meat, maybe you don't exercise naturally. That's the other thing that really struck me about the Blue Zones. They don't go to gyms or 24-hour fitness. I mean, they're either herding sheep, climbing mountains, going hiking, or walking. Can you reverse what has been, let's say, a bad lifestyle? And if you do, can you see the noticeable changes in terms of longevity?
We see it all the time in our Blue Zone Project communities. And again, there's just an enormous amount of research out there of people that have gone to primarily a plant-based diet and what that's done to their body and to their health challenges. in one of our communities, one of our first Blue Zone certified communities, one of the leaders of that project was the mayor, and he was on about 30 different pills for just bad health. He just jumped onto the Blue Zone bandwagon. He started eating primarily plants. He started walking and biking to work, strengthening his friends, ships, and family. And in the first 6 months of the project, he surprised his doctor, his family, and himself by being taken off of all those medications. We've seen people that have gone to a purpose workshop, have identified their five passions and their five gifts, and have created their own mission statement of life, and then went out and connected with that, and have just completely transformed their lives. There are small changes that people can take that add enormous benefits to their life. When you look at your three best friends, they have this profound effect on your well-being. If they smoke, you have 160% greater chance of smoking. If they're it's the same for obesity, loneliness, or depression. But imagine if your three best friends are encouraging you to move naturally and asking you to go on walks, maybe during lunchtime at work or before or after work or on the weekends, or inviting you to a healthy meal. There's small changes that you can do that have a profound effect on your well-being.
So what would you recommend an individual begin? Let's say somebody's listening to this program. Maybe they've had a stressful lifestyle. Maybe they have not been healthy. Where do you begin, Tony? And what's the easiest way to do it? I mean, sometimes it's really important that you just make a drastic change in your life because of health issues. You may have heart disease or, like you mentioned, that mayor of that city. But what if you're just the average Joe, you're the average American, and you want to move towards that? So what are some simple things you can do?
Sure. We've seen people try to take those drastic changes, and in most cases, they're just dismal failures, and they make people feel bad about themselves. You look at diets. Research shows that people that go on diets, in just 7 short months, you lose about 90% of those people. And there's actually great research that shows there's never been a successful diet over 2 years that have helped more than 3% of the population. Gym memberships, people join in January and they're done by March or April. It's small things, but your listeners should pick something that they do every day and do long enough to matter. And I'll give you a couple just small little tidbits. In Okinawa, before the Okinawans sit down to eat, they close their eyes and they say a small Confucian phrase that goes like this: Hare Hache Bu. And when you have that translated, it simply means stop eating when your stomach is 80% full. So Americans didn't get obese on thousands of extra calories a day. They've gotten obese on a few hundred. But imagine if you were to do that at every meal, 3 times a day for years, and cut out 20% of your caloric intake, what kind of impact that could have. I encourage everyone to go to our website and take the True Vitality Test. It's obviously private. There's about 30 to 40 questions there that will look at your current behaviors, and by how you answer the questions will give you some tips of some things that would be most impactful to change in your life to increase well-being. I think that just simply looking at the friends you spend your time with, setting up your environment at work or at your home so healthy choices are the default, look at your three best friends who you're hanging out with. Are they really increasing your well-being or decreasing from that? These are lifelong journeys and journeys that you want the right friends by your side supporting your well-being. And then I think having faith, whatever that looks like for people, to have that resilience to go through hard times and to come out of it stronger than you went in are some small things that we see the longest lived populations doing and thriving from.
Tony, as we close, would you mind giving out your website? And then I'm going to mention a couple books and the current issue of National Geographic. Would you give out your website as we close?
Yes, I'd love to. your listeners can find more information at bluezones.com. And if they're interested in our community health initiatives that are happening around the country, they can learn more at bluezonesproject.com.
All right. And some of the books, Tony's brother wrote The Blue Zones, 9 Lessons for Living Longer. There's The Blue Zone Solution, Thrive, Finding Happiness, The Blue Zone Way, and The Blue Zones of Happiness. And of course, it's on the current issue of National Geographic. We've been speaking with Tony Buettner. Tony, thanks so much for joining us in the good work of longevity that you and your brother are promoting.
Thank you so much for having us on today. Appreciate it.
I highly recommend, if you had the chance, pick up a copy of The Blue Zones. I found it just a fascinating read, why it is certain areas of the world have a population that lives to be over 100. I saw that when I spent time in Loma Linda. And recently, I was in Whole Foods, and I saw it on the cover of National Geographic, and it's called Blue Zones, The Science of Living Longer. Pick it up and read a copy. It could just save your life and change your life. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.